Welcome back to the Screaming Idiots Show. Hope you guys have had a good week. As always, got a very special guest in the studio tonight and want to go ahead and introduce him. We've got the man, the myth, the legend himself, Big Ed Scott. Tyler, how's it feel to have your dad in studio, bro?
It feels really cool.
Yeah.
Welcome, Ed.
Thanks for coming, man. Thank you. It's good times.
Appreciate it. I know you got a lot going on and appreciate you taking the time. So,
yeah.
Something we always try to start with, you know, to try to introduce our guests to the audience and to the listeners out there is, you know, when it comes to music, you know, you grew up in a bit of a different, you know, era than what we did musically. I mean, culturally, socially, and especially musically. So just kind of curious, what was it like, you know, as you're a little kid, you know, what kind of music did your parents listen to? You know, what kind of made you, you know, fall in love with music?
Yeah. Parents always listened to old stuff, oldies and old country and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Drove me nuts, but yeah, some of it I liked.
Sure.
Then I got into Southern Rock. But getting into music, my grandpa played music. His brothers played music every Sunday. It was family day. Got together and played. And my Uncle Vernon, he played country band. He, great guitarist. He played a lot of instruments. Mm-hmm. That's where I went. Got taught.
Really?
I just had it in my blood.
Yeah?
Yes.
So you kind of started in the, you said oldies and then country, and then it kind of pushed you into Southern Rock. So like Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Molly Hatchet, Blackfoot, yeah. All that good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Blackfoot. I love Blackfoot.
Oh,
yeah.
I was always a Hatchet fan.
Yeah. Your dad's a big Molly Hatchet fan.
Yep.
Yeah. Blackfoot was Highway Song.
Would that have been
70s?
That
old band. That was my favorite song.
Yeah.
Was that 70s?
Yep.
70s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Highway Song has one of the like most beautiful, clean riffs I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous. So, yeah, having it in your blood, I guess, Tyler, you can relate to that.
It feels very much like trying to build on a legacy. Like, seriously, you know, hearing, you know, watching Dad do his thing growing up, and it was like, I gotta do that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus more.
I gotta one up it.
So
that maybe when my boys start playing music, they're huge.
Yeah, just get bigger.
That's what I was waiting for you to do.
He's still fucking waiting.
Yeah.
Well, damn.
I mean, look, I've come to terms with the fact that I'm probably not going to be huge, but if I can set the stepping stones and then my boys become famous,
that'd be
cool.
That's right.
We'll talk about that.
So Ed, how did you, you know, get into playing live music? Like, what was your first adventure into playing live music, and what were you playing?
Really, a couple buddies in Jeffersonville, hung out with them. I played at home a lot, and then that was like my first band. Didn't have no name, but we played that football player Sleester.
Mm-hmm.
Played his party and a bunch of stuff way back in the day.
Gotcha.
Made enough money for McDonald's.
Hey, sometimes that's all you need.
$30.
He said we were playing in a band, didn't have no name. Was that the name, didn't have no name?
No, we just never had a name. Never had a singer. We just take
that's
a mic
band
and throw
will be
it
coming out.
Out.
So,
say, how'd you introduce yourself when you walked out?
We didn't.
We just started. That's metal as fuck.
Now, did you guys start with originals or did you start with covers?
No, covers.
Okay.
And then in my 20s, I got with a band, Creepshow. And we did a lot of 80s. We was going for the 80s kick.
Okay.
Where I had long hair. We dressed shiny shirts, all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Did you wear makeup,
it worked.
Too?
No.
You're drinking a Bud Light. I had to ask.
Hey. I come in the wrong door, didn't I?
He called it a stud light.
He called it a stud light. That's
it's a
right.
Stud
he
light,
bro. I
drink Bud
shit.
Light. I drink stud light.
Oh, shit. So, you know, 80s was a big influence in my...
Yeah, I loved the 80s.
Yeah, you know, I grew up on thrash and hair metal and shit like that.
I got into that later.
I'm always curious to ask, you know, guys that grew up in that era, you know, what was music like in the 80s, and then how did it just become so vastly different in the 90s, almost overnight?
80s, you know, big hair, hairspray, had your makeup, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was all rocking, good times, girls, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And 90s, come along Kurt Cobain, and the grunge just wiped it out.
Did he say Kurt Cobain?
Cobain.
Oh, man.
Because he doesn't have a face anymore.
That's metal as fuck.
Yes. Ammo normally is. He said Kurt Cobain.
It took me 10 seconds to realize it.
Kurt Cobain, what the fuck? That's what we're naming this episode. Oh, God. Kurt Cobain.
What y'all got to shit on my dude for?
It's going to be very controversial.
He shit on himself, bro.
Yeah. All over the place.
Oh, so were you a grunge fan? Because Tyler, has such a love for grunge.
Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, I like them guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nirvana, I hated them.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Very similar to us three.
Yeah, he was a three chord master. And,
what did I say when I was talking about Nirvana?
That's what it makes me think. Chords. It makes me think Kurt was. Is it Kirk or Kurt?
Kurt.
Yeah, sorry.
His woman outplayed him.
Sean reminds me of a Kurt style for some reason.
That's because Sean was very influenced by Kurt Cobain.
That makes sense.
Poor guy.
Okay, I figured so. And yeah, poor guy.
I was
noticed that in
somewhat.
It's fair.
Sorry, I was somewhat, Sean, influenced by Kurt Cobain, which is why it hurts to listen to you all shit on his name.
See,
but
I've never heard him listen to it.
I've also said on this show before, Nirvana really wasn't grunge.
Right.
No,
it was like pop punk is what it was, and so no, I don't put Nirvana in with grunge, but yes, Nirvana definitely helped kill the 80s.
Yeah.
Was it that people got that the hair metal got old and it people wanted? I mean, maybe people didn't realize they wanted something new until that stuff had came out.
Yeah,
I think it's really all up to record labels. We're getting tired of these guys. They ain't making us much money. Let's try this.
Yeah, that's kind of phasing out.
I mean, that's
out.
Fair. Yeah. Because, you had hair metal from really, 77, 78, all the way through, the
early
90s.
Yeah.
So, it probably was getting, burnt out, and people were getting tired of it, and it makes me wonder.
Made me money.
All the drugs and everything made them tired. Yeah,
all the drugs.
Everybody's wanting to see the concert. I was like, heck yeah, come on. We sold out everywhere. And one night, 500 people went nuts. I got a broken leg, and
oh, goodness.
Wait. Back up. What now? You talking about going to shows? Or playing shows?
He's talking about, what was it, Creepshow?
Yep.
How'd you break a leg?
We had we're guesstimating around 500 people out there at the barn.
Yeah. Guesstimating.
Yeah, leg went bang.
Two dudes just come in there hitting girls and everything, and then the place went nuts.
Oh.
I was on the stage. He's like, they got your brother down outside beating him with a rock.
This is the story that I've heard, I believe.
I dropped my guitar and ran out there and found my brother all bloody. I was like, just point. I was like, you ain't got to say nothing, just point. And he said, there they go. And they was running up the road from Jim Roy's there. And I took off from the barn and I caught both of them.
And, wow.
Big old ruckus, this, that, and the other, and end up being a signpost pulled out, and I got cracked across the leg, broke my leg. I didn't know it till I was done fighting.
Jesus.
And the closer I got to go back to the barn, the more I limped.
Yeah.
And I figured out my leg was broke.
Live music's fucking wild, man.
Good times, man.
Was it a good show before that, though?
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. That's why we had so much security out there this time.
Oh, wow. At the last show in April?
That last time. Yep.
Which I heard was a good show.
Yep.
It was. Did you
have a good time?
This is a damn
good
time.
And why don't you talk a little bit about what that show was for? Because you're kind of the, one who introduced me to it. And I don't know. Are you running Banded for Brothers?
Me and Christy Lynch.
Okay. So
and the rest of the guys in my band.
Tell us a little bit about this organization.
It's a Banded for Brothers is pretty much bands for your other brothers that play music and stuff, because we do a lot of benefits and so do all the bands and help people out, but you never hear about the musicians struggling and this, that, and the other. So
right.
It's what Banded for Brothers is there for, to help musicians.
Support local music and
yep.
kind of give and back
that's
to.
That's why we did it for Ryan Courier. his family.
Yep.
Stuff. Presented him with some cash over the weekend, and
it's awesome, man.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's like you said, Ed. I think that live bands do a lot for the community, like you said. So it's cool to see. And Tyler, we've talked about this on the show before. It's cool to see somebody want to give back to those bands.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I do want to point out one thing. How strange it is to hear people call you Ed.
Yeah. Well, depends.
What's he to you?
Well, his dad to me, but everyone calls him Charlie.
Well, yeah, that's in the family and like real close friends. Huh. I got Charlie.
Yeah.
So and then music community, it's Special Ed.
I was going to go Big Ed. Yeah,
I just don't hear a lot of people call you Ed, and it's strange.
Well, how the fuck are you, Charlie?
I'm good. I'm doing decent. Heck yeah.
Oh, shit. So how many bands have you been in officially?
I mean, a couple little, few short little stints, but it was like Creepshow. That was a while on that till the riot. Then I formed Sliding South.
I remember hearing about Sliding South.
And that was all the way up until I had that wreck and lost my memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple little here and there, jamming with some fellas, and then I got in Damage.
Damage, yeah.
Yeah, my buddy passed away in that, and I decided to give it up for a while, take a little break.
Sure. And now your current band is High Alert.
High Alert, yep.
So why don't you talk a little bit about High Alert and what kind of music you guys are playing?
Now I'm trying to mix it up a little, but keep it kind of on the heavy side or whatnot. Take some old songs and rock them up, like Keep On Rocking in the Free World. Yeah, we juiced it way up, and that,
That's cool.
What was that song I just recorded? Good memory.
I don't think anybody ever sent that to me.
In Collar, Jamie Johnson song.
Oh, that's a great song. That's a fantastic song.
I'd like to hear
song.
That, maybe sped up and kind of heavy.
Well, I got it right, yeah.
Lucky for you, buddy. Motherfucker.
I just happen to have 12 on me right now.
I'm going to hook you the fuck up.
I happen to make dreams come true,
that's
sir.
That's right. So I'm special way for nothing.
I feel like I've asked enough questions. I'm going to let Tyler. Well, Preston, do you have anything you want to ask real quick for us?
There's a few, but I'll have Tyler go first.
Tyler, no, man, you go ahead.
No, that's all you.
I got my Chewbacca in.
Go ahead. It's all you.
I want to let Tyler. I'm gonna give a good opportunity here for Tyler to interview his dad. And we're gonna see where the fuck this goes.
Lay it on me, son. Don't make me bring out some stuff on you.
The porn.
So.
Wrote a song.
This is the man. Look. Behind old smut.
So, I grew up going to dad's band practices. The first live show I ever played was with dad's band, and dad gave up his spot on the song to let me play his guitar at this Jeffersonville festival thing.
Shut down the whole town. We was underneath the streetlight.
Huh.
It was pretty dope.
It's packed.
I ain't gonna lie. Like being a, how old was I? Like 13.
Somewhere you, Tori, about your age. She kind of opened up.
She's a couple
up
years during, older than
yeah,
me.
Yeah, she
though.
Did acoustic, and then you got up and played.
Sin City by AC/DC.
I got it on video. I just ain't had nothing to. Put
you
the video
you
for.
Have that on video?
Yeah.
Where?
It's a, my mom's in the trunk.
Didn't I have like really long hair?
You've never had really, I mean, compared
when I,
to what
when
you
I
got
was
now.
When I was trying to grow it
yeah.
out,
I guess
you gave me like a bandana.
That's metal as fuck.
Gave me a bandana, and I really didn't understand why. I always seen dad wearing a bandana when he played, and then
keep the sweat out my eyes.
That's right.
And then that day, I learned I was up there just, oh my God, just
yeah, them full, lights
that
get
thing
hot.
Was full of sweat mm-hmm. within 30 seconds of me showing up to the place because I was like,
yeah.
This is a lot of people.
You sweat like a whore in church anyways, bro.
Yeah, so it was...
I have the same problem.
It was really scary, but... It was pretty
back
cool,
in my,
though.
When I was playing the 80s, see how we was dressed?
Yeah.
Oh, hell
Shiny
yeah.
Me and Cody Dunn.
Like fucking Cliff Burton.
That's yeah.
wild. I dig it.
Heck yeah. That was back in the day. Remember that shirt, Hot Tuna? Hot tuna shirt.
But anyway, talk a little bit about the touring that Sly and South did.
Oh man, we did it all. We played every biker thing you can think of. We played for like the A-Bait of Ohio. We played their biker party. That was a good one, 2-day thing. Dale Bout tore down the stage.
Oh, yeah.
I gave him an old junk guitar. At the end of a certain song, he was to bust it. He had it sideways and wouldn't bust, and there was a big pole right down the center of the stage up front, kind of holding the top up. He started on that, and like he was chopping wood. Place was rattling.
Goodness.
We had to tell him to stop. I had to tell him, like, turn it flat. Did that. Played Chillicothe Rodeo a couple times with
that's a big
maybe
rodeo,
Georgia
right?
Satellites.
Mm-hmm.
Shared the same dressing room as Jackal. We opened for them. And one of the Van Zant guys. I think it was Jimmy Van Zant. We played with him.
Crazy. So it was mainly around Ohio.
We played Florida Bike Week.
Oh,
down
okay.
There a
okay.
Couple times.
So at this point in time, were you doing it for a living?
I paid for my vacations and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
We could have if I probably wouldn't have had that wreck and whatnot. But
sure.
Yeah.
Still, some of them call me up and we could have been living in mansions now.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we talk a lot about the 99% of bands don't do it for a living, right? They're just doing it as a passion and as a side project, if you will. You know, really only the 1% is out there on the road touring, you know, year-round and doing it for money.
Yeah, the guys would start griping, need a day off, a weekend off and stuff.
Just that
we
busy.
We was every weekend. We was booked. We was making pretty good money.
Yeah. Wow. So playing for decent-sized, I mean, you talk about 500 people at some shows here in Fayette County.
Yeah, we had some pretty good shows.
So is this early 2000s, 90s?
I think it was about 2000.
2000?
When I started Sliding South.
Okay,
gotcha. I got an old creep show and had a buddy, Denny Satterfield.
Yep.
Jammed with a few times. He always played Southern Rock. So me and him went to his house, got together. We sat there at his kitchen table for I couldn't tell you how long, long time learning our songs. I was going to change them up, be different.
Now, was that a cover band as well, or?
Yes and no. We had like 3 CDs, I believe, of originals.
Oh, okay.
We had a lot of originals.
So I bet that was a good show, that mix of covers. Mm-hmm. And that was Southern Rock as well, right?
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, Sliding South was. Okay.
So how do you go from you and Denny jamming in a room to being booked every weekend?
Well, we went through a lot of members. I don't know. A lot of them.
I've heard the stories.
Yeah. But we just started off small. And once we started getting rid of people and got the right group of guys, me and Denny would just sit down and really wasn't much computers back in, but just starting. Sit down, just start calling everywhere. We came up with our own Probo packs, everything. Contracts, all that good stuff. Certain days, we'd just take off and go wherever we could find. Here you go, buddy. Pass them out.
Just self-promoting.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's like
when you say promo pack, is that similar to like an EPK nowadays, or?
Yes. Okay. An EPK is an electronic promotion kit.
Okay, that makes sense. I always knew it as the acronym of EPK.
So, I mean, that's kind of the old school way of like,
get out.
You know, those bands would show up at other shows and pass out CDs.
Yep.
And shit like that. And hey, listen to our music.
Putting it on a telephone song, a wanted song.
Yeah, absolutely. That's crazy. So that's,
they pass out flyers. Man,
that's super cool to have somebody on that actually did that and stuff.
Yeah. I remember when Dad's band got their first.
Which band? Sliding South?
Sliding South.
Okay.
You got your first website.
Yeah. I think it was slidingsouth.com, I believe.
Probably still out there somewhere floating around the interwebs.
It was craziness.
I remember being a kid and getting on there and thinking it was like the coolest thing in the world. I was like, yes.
Yeah, well, it would be.
How do you, back then, it was kind of a process, man. You couldn't just go to like a Banzoogle and create one.
Yeah. Well, no, we had a Paul Veneer do it for us, local drummer.
Oh, Paul. Okay. Yeah.
He set it up good. We had a homepage, merchandise page, schedule page, a place you can get on there and chat with us. It's pretty cool.
After the show, I'm going to type that in my phone and see if that website is
still even thought about doing that
floating ever. Around out there, because I'd be interested to see what a website from the early 2000s looks like today. So, no, that's cool. I mean, to have a band make it that far in the process of getting together, getting the right guys, writing your own music, self-promoting, and then getting a tour. I mean, that's how long of a time frame are we talking here? Like from when you first got in this band or started this band to when you got out?
10 years.
10 years. So what was, I mean, what ended that?
Me having a car wreck, breaking my neck and losing memory.
Okay. So that was just kind of the stopping point for that. And then how long after your accident were you, like, down and out from playing music?
I can't remember.
Can't remember,
My memory's been wiped out.
Yeah, sure.
Yep, my short-term memory's pretty rough now or whatnot.
Yeah.
So what big-time bands did you guys open for? You had mentioned Jackal. Who else did
Georgia
you play
Satellite?
With?
I can't remember all of them.
Dude, do you remember sitting in my dad's garage listening to Jackal?
Oh, we were in love with Jackal.
Damn,
good
guys
kids.
Right there.
We jammed the old Jackal CDs, drinking beer, drunk as shit, like 15 years old, playing poker, listening to Jackal, and trying to build my mama a birdhouse. My dad yells out the window, hey, no power tools.
Yeah.
All right. Sidebar. Yeah. Continue.
That was a good time. Heck, I can't remember. We played Last Resort in Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
Charlize Theron won her Emmy for the movie Monster for being there and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a good time right there. They had stopped traffic for us and stuff.
Jeez. So you guys had, like, if I'm hearing you correctly, did you have day jobs and then when you had gigs, would just take off if need be? Okay.
Well, we all had very good jobs, or we'd even get jobs through the week playing music. We can get off as long as we had it planned far enough ahead. But me and Denny usually had the year booked.
The year. Wow.
That's impressive. So roughly how many shows were you playing a year at the height, like at the height of the band?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Is this?
Were you playing throughout the winter too?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So you're probably playing, I mean, you're playing a couple hundred shows, right? Maybe not.
A lot of them was two-day weekends.
I mean, so maybe 100 shows. I mean, if you're
still a ton,
mostly playing on weekends.
We played
we had
80
merchandise
years.
And CDs. Man, we just couldn't keep it fast enough.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Good times.
That's so cool. So, Tyler, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm good.
You're good. Okay, I
took a bite out of a Kit Kat and I was kind of working through that.
Yeah, that's fair. So, you know, with High Alert now, are you just enjoying jamming and vibing and playing local shows and supporting local music and shit, or do you have bigger aspirations?
I've always loved the local, but there's not much local, so I'm ready to hit the road. I told them I want the promo pack, whatever you call them,
EPKs,
by October, because I'm going to start hitting up Florida. I still got everybody's numbers down there and all that stuff. So,
you still got the drive to go out?
I want to get out and play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a certain love.
Hearing I got left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you using in-ear monitors?
Nope.
No?
Oh, I use earplugs.
Gotcha.
I don't even use earplugs.
Oh.
No wonder
you'll regret
I can't hear
that.
After a show. Yep.
And I can't hear shit either.
My
ears
ring
fucking
so loud,
huge,
sound
so.
Like a Pantera concert.
What'd you say?
I said my ears are ringing so loud, it sounds like I just left like a Pantera concert or something.
So, when it comes to Tyler, like, what are your, you know, what you can remember of his earliest dive into music and playing music? Like, what were your feelings about that? How proud were you at that moment?
Well, I tried to get him to I knew it was going to be either him or his sister. So I tried to get him to do it when he was young. He's like, nope, don't want to do it. But she grabbed it. She was young. And then she's like, eh. Then I was like, well, I'll wait. Must be Tyler in. Didn't want to push it on him. So sure. One day he just came up and was like, Dad, teach me how to play.
It's very similar to my situation.
He, like his first song was Skinner. Wrote a song about it, I think it was. That's where I taught you how to strum. And then he learned some Jimi Hendrix and some Tesla.
I can't remember what song
Tesla,
it was.
There we go.
But I remember the song vaguely, yes.
Which one?
The first one.
Oh, the
Skinner song.
Yep. Told him everything you learn. You learn a song, you got to sing it. So if you learn it, you got to sing it. You got to learn how to do it all.
Man, I wish I had somebody tell me how to do that.
I really had zero intention of singing.
He did.
Just like the guitar.
I did it because I was forced to, but the guitar part was really cool. And then later on, I started actually liking to sing a little bit.
Yeah, especially when he learned Simple Man.
Oh, yeah. He
still sings that one. Every family function.
Yep. He still sings that one. Yeah. There's a couple that you circle around back to.
What age is this? Yeah, he was a young teenager.
Yeah, 13, 14 probably.
Yeah, he was a youngin'.
Yeah.
I was in 7th grade, I believe.
Because I got you in the school band.
Yep.
Took you in for drums.
Man, I played the saxophone. I was dumb as fuck. Yeah. Percussion was cool.
Hey,
I'm like, yeah, I played saxophone, man.
Percussion was the shit. I got kicked out of band because they said I was a bad influence, and I literally did nothing. But, like, most of the time we were told to sit back and do nothing while they worked on everyone else, and people would just come back and start bullshitting with us. And I'm like, I just exist here. They literally blamed the poor performance of the band for, like, 6 months on me.
You were half a step off,
dude.
Bro,
I'm a fucking freshman. Like, what do you mean?
You weren't meant for school band.
That's not metal as fuck.
It's not metal as fuck, but it kind of is at the same time. But no, I remember getting into that, and then it was jazz band in 7th grade.
Mm-hmm.
They we had like 6 of us want to play the drums for the band. I was about the only one that could actually play a beat, only because I fucking grew up watching the shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being at practices every Friday night and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I could do this. But they were like, but we also need a guitar player. It's like, I can't do both, but there's like 5 other people that can figure this the fuck out. And I was like, Dad, teach me the ways. And I thought it was going to be, like, way cooler, too. Because around that time, I'm thinking about girls and shit. And I'm like, geeky band nerd, badass guitarist. Which one are they going to want? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, Dad, teach me to be sexy.
He wanted to be that guy that you see on TikTok. Going, hey there, Veronica, you got that badass move. He wants to be that guy. He wanted the best of both worlds. I said Veronica. That wasn't right at all.
It's like, Bianca.
Bianca.
Hey there, Bianca, you got that badass booty.
That video is metal as fuck.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Good times, though.
Good times. Good
times. I remember being locked in his room. He had a little guitar room.
You locked him in a room?
Oh, you just go in there and lock the door.
He did it to himself.
He would be like, look, I said, teach me how to play. I didn't ask for boot camp, but it worked. I'll give you that. He would literally, look, we got the fucking stack of magazines over here. He'd be like, all right, look through these and pick a song, and
oh, those magazines!
It would be like
wrong magazine. Other stack,
Duty
brother.
Magazine
other stack, bro.
Duty
other
magazine day.
But look, he would be like, "Learn it," and he would just shut the door and go about his business. for like the rest of the day, and then he'd come back and be like, "Learn it yet?"
Concentrate.
And I'd be sitting there with like
somebody staring
out of your fingers.
Dad, my fingers hurt, and he's like, "Eh, you'll be all right.
Gotta keep going."
I remember my shit hurting so much when I was a kid.
I don't have any feeling in my index finger.
I think I heard you talk about Stevie Ray Vaughan super gluing his calluses back on like 100 times during that time because it was like.
Stevie Ray Vaughan probably ate his calluses, bro. Like, I want more.
Denny, poor guy, he would play so hard. You see the lights, you see them just falling off of him. He'd have to put that new skin and super glue on.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's a...
I think Tyler's pretty fortunate to have grown up with a dad that was in a band and teaching him how to play guitar because I didn't have that. You know, my dad was into the kind of music that I was into, but never played an instrument or anything. I didn't grow up in a musical family. You know, I did have a cousin that actually sold me my first guitar and taught me my first few riffs. But after that, you know, I was kind of on my own. And, this one right here, you know, Preston gets a guitar and start. I don't know if you ever, before me, played with anybody, did you?
No,
Yeah,
just learning at that time. Other than like dad's friends that would help me out, because dad had tried and then never ran with it. So then finally, I think it was eighth grade. I wanted to play.
I always wanted to play since I was.
Yeah, I never was interested.
Donnie
in
and Marie guitar.
I wasn't. I didn't really have a desire to do it for whatever reason until, like you said, seventh, eighth grade.
Yep.
I think I was 12 when I got my first guitar. And I probably couldn't play, you know, more than 2 or 3 riffs until I was like 14. You know, I didn't have anybody teaching me. So
I taught myself when I started off. I was teaching myself.
And, of course, me being
Well, how would you – I'm trying to think how you'd teach yourself back then because there wasn't YouTube videos that you could watch, right?
You can't Google tabs.
No, but you go get, like, Heavy Metal magazine and all that stuff.
You just look at their finger position or something?
Some magazines would have a couple pictures in there, show you how to do this and that and whatnot.
Okay.
Then my uncle brought me over a book. Book of chords.
Yep.
And I just went from there. Just kept hitting it and hitting it.
Did
you start with acoustic guitar or electric guitar? Okay.
Grandpa's.
One thing we always talk about on this show where we differ is he and you now started off on an acoustic guitar. We started playing electric. Yeah, we didn't give a shit.
Started on anything he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah,
electric was there.
We started on electric, and I almost feel like I know it set me back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if I would have started on an acoustic and actually learned chords and hand positions and things like that, I would have been in a lot better spot because I didn't pick up an acoustic guitar until I was like 20. I mean, I'd been playing for 8 years before I'd ever even picked up and, you know, bought my
first
acoustic.
You never really had any interest in it.
No.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I mean, just grew up a metalhead. I wanted to play fucking metal. And that's all I cared about. And then as I got older,
metal back in the day, I played some boys doing that. Yep.
Then I get older and I'm like, this acoustic and softer shit's kind of pretty. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to know how to play some of that. So it's totally different. But yeah, Tyler was pretty fortunate to grow up with that.
Well, it was cool that dad had everything that you could want.
Yeah.
In the guitar room. Things.
It was like, you won't play an electric? Shit, man. Let me hook you up to this little Marshall stack I got here. And we'll just do a little this and that and go and play that real quick. Okay, we'll dial you in.
We'll dial you in.
Would shut the door and go about his day and be like, learn that.
Learn this.
So the gearhead side of me wonders, you know, growing up playing, say, mainly Southern rock and some covers, what was your go-to amp? Was it a Marshall-style amp?
I had a Randall at Randall for a long time.
Okay.
Other than that, it was mostly Crate.
Was it Crate at the time?
Big Crate guy.
That surprises me playing Southern rock. I've played on some Crates that I struggled to get a good crunch out of, like a crunchy tone, but maybe it was, I mean.
I had an old one. I think I got it when he was born. It was the Excalibur series. I still got the cabinet. Head blew up a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I still got the cabinet.
What are you playing now?
It's 51.
5150.
Still getting some great rock tones out of that, I would assume. Yeah. Because it's so, that amp is so versatile.
Playing.
That and that
just a way more modern version.
It's an, it's a new 5150.
Yeah. Did you end up getting that thing fixed on the Black Star?
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's up there. Fixed.
Plug it in. I forgot that you brought it back. I might have to plug that in and fuck with it. Cause
you just want to plug it in and see if Dad fixed it.
I haven't played that amp.
You didn't tell us you were a guitar tech or gear, gear tech over here, Ed?
Nah, not really. I mean, I can do a little bit with the guitars, but
yeah,
I try not to.
Fair enough.
What was your go-to guitar back in the day?
Blue Les Paul and a Fender Strat.
And a Strat, so a little bit of both worlds.
So what you're playing today still?
Huh?
What are you playing today? I know you've been playing that Schecter, haven't you?
Yeah, but my old, or what was that, Charvel?
Yeah, Charvel.
I usually play that.
Yeah.
And stuff, and he keeps the Fender in there, and Strat.
Yeah, that Fender's nice.
I love Strats and Tellys.
Oh, yeah, I got Texas Specials in it. Stevie's my dude. I love Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah. I've always said that, in my opinion, Steve Ray Vaughan is the greatest guitarist of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love Jimmy, but Steve, just watching that dude play live.
Oh, yeah, he's a bad man.
That's a bad motherfucker. And I always like bluesy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, you did the head spin. Yeah, go ahead.
So, something I've blessed these gentlemen with, words of wisdom that you once gave me. Was that with lead guitar? So with lead guitar, it's all about the right hand, and I think you taught me that talking about Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the time I had explained that to Kyler, and I was like, "Bro, go listen to Stevie Ray Vaughan again." And he hit me up later on, was like, "Bro, it's all in the right hand."
Yeah, it's all
right hand. How you use that pick. I mean, you could turn your pick certain ways, get different sounds, and
It's the exact, trying to remember the exact quote. It was tones in the left, feels in the right, or something like that. It was something along that nature, but it's all about the right hand. If you go and watch any great Gary Moore, Stevie, Jimmy, you name them,
they had an amazing picking hand.
Their picking hand is incredible. Yeah. Steve Vai is another one that has a amazing picking hand.
Marty Friedman.
Marty Friedman.
You see how he holds it up?
Yeah.
Sean holds his pick real weird too.
Yeah.
He holds it like this.
He holds it like he looks like a spider.
I got a buddy who hold it in between these fingers.
Yeah, that's what Sean normally does.
Yeah, he does it like that. Yeah Sean picks it like this.
I tried that.
Palm mute for me like that.
Give me some Gorilla Snot, I could do it probably.
And not only how you hold the pick between your hand position or whatever, but how do you have the pick turn? You're manipulating that pick. Each note. Another one that's really, really fucking good at that is Dave Mustaine from Megadeth. He is so good. His right hand is so fucking good. And people are like, he just plays fast. I'm like, no, he doesn't just play fast.
Too easy.
He plays gorgeous. His right hand is so good. What's that?
Sorry, bro.
Dad paused, looked at me, said, that would have been too easy.
Talking about Dave, his right hand being so good. I was like, bro, this is a Christian show.
Oh, yeah. You do be having a good right hand.
Oh, man.
I should be the one drinking Bud Light. words of wisdom.
When we talk about good right hands, we talk about good right hands from a modern standpoint. John Brown
is
Oh my God, his right hand, it's insane. I can think of a few guys.
Jesse Cash is another one that has an amazing right hand.
Crazy, what always amazed me was Tony Tipton.
Yeah.
Necrotic, when he played, or Regurgitation and them.
Mm-hmm.
Just how fast.
Just how quick. It's crazy.
And it don't move that much. And he just fries it.
Tyler talks about Tony a lot. And
I've still never seen him play.
We've talked about wanting to get him on the show, too. So
yeah, you need to get him over here.
Yeah, we do, for sure. Hopefully
he'll critique my mix so bad. No, I actually hit him up about some advice on mixing the show.
did you just ask him to come mix it? And he said no.
No, so I was having trouble figuring out a particular aspect, and I hit him up. I'm like, dude, I can't find the setting.
Tony's good at everything.
So then he just started pounding me with questions, and I was like, all right, then, here's my whole fucking signal chain settings. What do you think? He's like, well, you fucked up here, you fucked up there, move that, do this. And I was like, fuck.
And he taught himself how to do all that stuff.
Just pricking with it? Eventually just figure it out.
For years.
Yeah.
And we started off this little, like, four track maybe.
Power of the song.
Yeah, we did that over in an apartment.
Really?
Yeah, that was one of the Sliding South originals I wrote. Tyler played on it.
Yeah, first time I ever played on a recording, Dad, I show up to the house, Dad's like, I need you to learn this in like 3 hours.
Yep.
What?
What?
Yeah, we sit there in like dining room, did it all.
Just recorded it.
Little drum
too.
Machine, we had bass, guitar, Dale sitting there singing. Yeah, that's one really killer.
I remember watching Dale struggle. You gave him some kind of shit to spray.
Oh, vocal wheeze?
Yeah.
Vocal wheeze.
Yeah, it's for singers, a spray.
Is it like a numbing spray, or is it
just kind of clears you up a little, whatnot. It'll make you so raspy.
I've never heard of such a thing.
That's pretty good stuff.
Vince Neil could use some of that shit.
Damn it.
You know what I said? I said, Vince Neil could use some of that shit.
He used a lot more than that.
When he said,
please,
he
just needed to drink the bottle.
He's fine as fuck, bro. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big dude, but Vince is. Woo! Poor Vince. They kicked Mick Mars out of the band. I'm not friends with him no more.
Is he dead?
No, he's not dead.
His back's all messed up.
Yeah, I know that, but I was figured it's about time.
He almost
man.
Looks dead.
Yeah, but
yeah,
they're,
he looks
they're,
horrible.
Yeah, poor guy. Yeah. He's been fucked up since the 80s, man.
I mean, what does he have again?
It's like basically his spine is becoming one solid fucking rock.
Oh.
Yeah. So
Jesus.
He got diagnosed with that. Like, and if you ever read their book, The Dirt, or watch the movie, he got diagnosed with that in the fucking 80s, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's been dealing with that shit for 40 years.
Mm.
So.
About his escape is playing music, though.
Yeah. He just eventually couldn't move around very good on stage.
Wow.
So. Yeah.
But, yeah, Tony Tipton, I think, would be a good one to get on the show. But
Yep.
So, did you play with Tony, like, in the same band?
In Creepshow?
Yeah. Okay.
He started out as our drummer, and he went to guitar.
Yeah, he plays guitar now, right?
Oh, he plays everything.
Or no, is he?
He plays bass in Johnny Lawless.
That's right. Yeah. He plays bass in Johnny Lawless. I fucking love Johnny Lawless. Those dudes rip.
Oh, yeah, they're killer dudes.
I've seen him a couple times, and I've seen him play
mm-hmm.
real, real small shows that, like, that show we went to in Circleville, they played.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's, like,
Toodles.
Toodles. Yeah, it was at Toodles. And
Jeremiah ripped that fucking solo, dude.
Bro, he's a bad to play, man. Jeremiah,
like to play,
and him a little side play, band back man. In the day.
And you, I know you guys can attest to this. All three of you playing in a real, real small venue with not a lot of people there, where you can't be super, super loud. Mistakes are a lot easier to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And those dudes sounded so crisp that night. They fucking killed it. So
yeah,
I mean,
Jeremiah,
they do.
He's always been great, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big Stevie Ray Vaughan fan.
Is he?
About name any song
to
play it.
You can hear it.
That and Iron Maiden.
That's
two favorite people right here.
Okay.
Gotcha. Well, and Terry, I mean, I think Terry's great too.
Terry surprised me.
Yeah.
I didn't know where I came from. I've known him forever.
With his playing?
Sometimes it takes some time.
With his playing?
I knew he kind of tinker around with guitar, more his singing and stuff.
Yeah.
He's got some killer songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a cool dude too.
Yeah,
I
he
like
is.
Terry.
Yep.
I sat there, talked to him the whole damn night at the Sour Bloods deal there at the old PAL building.
Good guy.
He's a good dude. So, Ed, what do you like musically, like not, outside of your band, what do you listen to most of the time these days?
Oh, man, a little bit of everything. You name it, I listen to it. I just don't listen to one certain thing.
Yeah.
Not much for this new country and stuff. But,
yeah.
Right. I get that.
Yeah. But Other than that, heck, I'm.
What's the heaviest band you listen to?
Man, that's hard to say. Because I think I've met every death metal band and been to all their concerts.
So you like death metal?
Yeah. I've,
I never pegged you for a death metal fan.
Oh, man, I was a moshing fool.
Yeah, dude. Have you? Do you listen to like any of the newer like, death metal bands?
I mean, like old Cannibal Corpse and like Sepultura and
Whitechapel, Thy Art Is Murder.
Dude, I used to go up Alrosa and watch all of them. We'd get in the pits and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And then Tony and Regurgitation, they got the opening for them. And I got to go meet all of them and whatnot. And
that's awesome.
Heck yeah.
Tyler, and
Tony goes all around with. Or used to go all around with Regurgitation, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Then he went with Necrotic here for a while.
Necrotic, that was the other one.
It's good times. Ben, he's a really good guy, but like I said, he's like one sneeze away from being a serial killer.
Oh, Jesus. Something like that. Some of
the, oh, man, the just stuff he writes. Check out the lyrics.
Listen to his lyrics.
Gotcha. Okay.
They're a bit fucking wild, dude.
Yeah, that one, I knew.
All you gotta do is see the fucking album covers, and it's like...
Bro, the wildest shit ever. You ever heard of the band called Mayhem?
Yep.
Okay, do you know the story about Mayhem? So,
I've heard of them, but I couldn't pick out the
music. So, in 1991, their lead singer, like, shot himself because he thought it would be funny. He thought everybody else would think it was funny. He blew his fucking head off with a 12-inch. And then the rest of the band thought, let's use his this picture of his body with his fucking brain laying beside him and his head blown off and the gun laying beside him as an album cover. They used the dude, their lead singer's actual dead body as an album cover.
That's metal as fuck.
Look.
I mean, Slayer, they had it where whoever it was carved that Slayer in their arm with a razor blade.
Dude from that. Oh, God, here comes a sneeze. That band Necrotic.
One sneeze away from me is here.
Is that what you're talking about? A dude in the band Necrotic did that? Or?
No, that was Slayer's album. They had an album cover, I believe.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Dude, where the carved Slayer in his arm.
Razor. Slayer's not even death metal. They're just thrash metal. Yeah. Yeah, that Mayhem shit, Tyler. You can look it up, bro. There is pictures of it on the internet.
That is fucking ridiculous.
If you want to see somebody's brain laying beside them on an album cover,
I'm pulling them up. Y'all keep talking.
Yeah, Preston's too curious.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's metal as fuck.
Yeah.
So what else? What else is cooking over there with what you're listening to?
Well, I've been in some Blackstone Cherry. And I'll tell you what, Blacktop Mojo.
Blacktop Mojo, yeah.
I was going to say, you've talked about
that song, The Void.
Yep.
That's a jam.
So you listen to a little bit of alternative and shit like that, too. Yeah. Blackstone Cherry is like kind of like alt-rock, aren't they?
They're more bluesy.
Yeah.
I guess more like a bluesy rock.
I don't listen to them.
A couple of them's parents is in Kentucky Headhunters country.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, so. I remember the Kentucky Headhunters.
I met them. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not fine.
I met a lot of people.
No, it's, bro, the album, it's, you are not going to find that album on fucking Apple Music.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. That album cover is not allowed on there, bro. It was banned in every country.
That Google. Sucks. That's not metal as fuck.
I got you. I'll pull it up on the fucking iPad. We're going to.
Oh, my goodness.
You want to.
Y'all going to make me fucking puke.
Nah, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Yeah, we played. Got
Google won't show it to
Columbus.
Me.
Uh huh.
That right
the
there.
Basement, I think it's called.
That's it.
Woo. The Basement.
Sliding South turned out to be a almost death metal thrash. And
that is crazy.
Heavy shit. Yeah.
Hold on. So Sliding South showed up to that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. To a death metal show? Is that what you said?
Yeah, we got booked at. I don't know how we got booked at.
You played.
We showed up. Like, this looks like a pretty cool place. Started to unpack stuff, went downstairs, and was like, ooh. As soon as we got down there, I was like, well, we still got time to skate up out of here. You know, we could load up and be out here. They'll never even notice. Man, it was nuts. Big fight broke out.
Jesus.
Jeremiah was even there. But
Tyler.
What the fuck?
Yeah. That's metal as fuck.
Yeah, we thought we was gonna get lynched at that show.
Wow. Where was this?
The basement in Columbus, I think it was.
Okay.
Was it Scotty was just talking about playing?
Me and Scotty was talking about
I mean, the sound man was in
that reminds me so much of what
wow
we have dealt with, the Screaming Evidence just not fucking fitting in almost anywhere we go.
That's crazy.
They stayed and played. We had to, I guess.
How'd that go over?
And not too bad, because we huddled up there and said a little quick prayer.
A little quick prayer.
Dale was like, play everything AC/DC. So all the AC/DC we started off with, they loved it.
No way.
Calmed them all down. So
no. Yeah, they were there for a death metal show, you said?
Mm-hmm. And we started out with all our AC/DC songs, went in Juice Priest, much we did.
Wow.
They loved it.
That's crazy. Can you play Painkiller?
When we went outside, it was blood everywhere out in the snow.
Wow.
Talking about Judas Priest, can you play Painkiller?
Oh, they wouldn't play nothing that heavy. I have, yeah.
That riff, to me, is still so hard to play. Because of the way that it's picked.
Drums are awesome in that.
Yeah. Oh my God, the drums are killer in that song, but the way it is picked. Like, I have watched Glenn Tipton play it live, and KK mm-hmm. Downing play it live, and I'm like trying to like mimic their picking style, and it's just an odd number of open E strings before going down to your next notes. And maybe it's just me and not being a fucking fantastic guitarist, but I'm like, God, that picking order or pattern, whatever, is just so fucking odd to be played that fast. So
I was trying to help Preston with a lead on one of the new songs, and I got the trying to put it into the song, and I just looked at Preston. I was like, I need you to play this because I can't. I was like, I can play it. But not that fast. I was like, but you can. Do it. Do it.
So we have a new segment on what we call season two of the show called This or That. And basically we're gonna go around.
Yeah.
Somebody's gonna come up with a topic. I've got one. And we're gonna, you know, hey, this or that, you only get to keep one. Okay, so for an old
perfect
guy,
one.
You got a perfect one?
I got the perfect
one. Well, bro,
for
then
Dad.
You go, because if you got the perfect one, then I'm gonna let it rip.
All right, Dad, this is gonna be painful. One you get to listen to forever; the other one goes away for eternity.
And go into depth as to why.
Cinderella.
Oh.
Or Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I knew he was gonna say that.
That's an easy one for me.
Well, I mean, which one would go away forever? I mean, I hate to say it, but. Stevie's already gone. So. No. So it looks like Cinderella's staying, huh? Well, they already broke up, but Tom Kiefer's doing his own thing.
Tom Kiefer's doing his own thing.
Dude, I love him.
Yeah.
Met them boys. Man, they're good people.
Oh, man. Cinderella over Stevie? Really?
Well, I mean, Stevie's been gone since, what, 90, 91, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
you would rather listen to Cinderella's music forever than Stevie Ray Vaughan's music.
Ooh. I don't know
that's what the question is.
But, yeah, it's two of my favorite people. I can't.
Oh, you got to.
Yeah, it'd probably be Cinderella.
Okay.
But I get to keep Tom Kiefer's new stuff in there. So.
Okay, that's fair.
Mm.
Cinderella.
Cheated. Cheated.
The guitar player died and all that stuff. So.
Cinderella's?
Yeah.
The short guy?
Jeff LaBar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He died? You were more into Cinderella than you were Tesla.
Oh, Cinderella's my favorite band. I've seen them.
My dad's seen Cinderella a couple times.
Yeah, I've probably seen them almost 10 times, probably.
I think my first band T-shirt was a Cinderella shirt you couldn't fit in anymore.
I still got a bunch of their concert shirts.
That's crazy.
That's cool that you kept that shit. I wish my dad had
think of a good one.
I got stacks of autographs, Quiet Riot, the original Quiet Riot.
Yep. We love Quiet Riot.
I got everybody.
Yeah. Do you still have your... You have like a book,
yeah.
That's got all the like tickets and stuff.
All my concert tickets autographed. I got their picks. I got Angus's pick from AC/DC. You name them, I got it.
Wow,
I'd love to see your memorabilia collection sometime.
Dad's big into memorabilia.
Yeah, I keep hold of all that stuff.
That's awesome. Well, fuck,
I guess memories.
Hell yeah!
I still keep a lot of my badges from playing at Barnyard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of passes and stuff I played and stacks of pictures and videos, but I keep all that stuff.
That's crazy.
So I got a this or that for you because you've talked about these two things and
we're just going to pick on Dad.
Yeah, bring it on, girl.
He's the guest. We got to bring it on.
Bring it on, sister.
So they're two of the most iconic pieces of music ever. And you've played them both. So I've played them both, so I know which one I would pick, but I'm curious. You only get to play one guitar for the rest of your life out of these two, and it's a Gibson Les Paul or a Fender Stratocaster.
Ooh, I'd probably have to go to Strat.
Ooh, me too. Definitely Strat.
I mean, I love them, but I love Les Pauls.
Strats are Strat so much more comfortable.
You can get a little thinner neck, wider neck. I got big hands, so I like the wider.
Yeah.
That's why I don't ever play the SG.
Yeah.
They're just too small, or a Telecaster. They're just too small for me.
Yeah. I do have that real thin
I'd pick
neck.
A Strat, too.
Yeah.
That's my first one.
I could change pickups and make it sound like anything.
Yes. You can Frankenstein the shit out of them. Like Eddie Van Halen, the Frankenstrat.
That
which
one's
would you
got
pick?
Texas
I'd
specials.
I'd go Les Paul.
I know you would. All nobody gives a shit about you.
Oh.
It's a Les Paul.
I was looking straight. I thought you were looking at me.
I said, nobody gives a shit about you.
You're a shitty guitar. It's like,
oh, shit. Oh, you're a shitty guitarist. Nobody gives a fuck about you.
He would go Strat. I already know.
I don't know, man. It's tough because I've always enjoyed playing the Les Paul style guitars. But now that I have this Fender here and I've been playing it, I'm starting to realize why people love Strats so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like authentic Strats because I'm like, dude.
It plays like butter.
It plays like butter. It's, you know, Preston summed it up the one day. He's like, it's too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, damn, right.
I'm just ripping. I'm like, what the hell is this?
But the other thing is I'm a big practitioner of doing cool shit with the right hand, and it gave me exactly what I put into it. Whereas, like, you know, the one Les Paul I had,
probably had to dig out of
it wasn't that clear, and it, you know, it was, there wasn't much dynamic range to what I was getting out of the pickups. There wasn't much like tone difference in how I would hit it.
Yeah, the
but
wrong
that Strat gives you everything.
Yeah. You had the wrong Les Paul, buddy.
Well, part of the problem was it had EMGs in it.
Oh yeah, no wonder. Yeah,
but I have played actual Les Pauls, and it's they're incredible. But man,
yeah,
an authentic Strat, man, gives you everything you want.
I like the Super Strat body style. That I mean, whether it's a Jackson, an Ibanez, a Schecter, whatever it might be, I just prefer that. An ESP, I just like that. Yeah. That body style is so comfortable to me. But yeah, an authentic Strat, fucking gravy, dude.
I think
I
would
like GNL. GNL's
GNL's
pretty sweet. Yeah, I love their necks. That's probably my favorite neck I've ever played on a GNL.
Yeah, mine's a Jackson. I'm a Jackson meat rider. I love Jackson guitars.
I would, in regards to Les Paul and Strat, I would pick Les Paul. You get a slightly fuller sound, and I'm the weirdo that likes a guitar to fight me a bit. I don't want it to be easy. Like, I want it to fight back a little bit, and I feel like there's more bite that I can get out of a Les Paul. And maybe not in the tone itself, but in the way I'm playing it.
Well, I think with the way the way that you play the guitar, a Les Paul fits your style better.
Yeah.
You're a much, just a lot of pressure when you pick a string.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Les Paul style fits you better. I feel like there's a shorter, you know, space in which to play in between your bridge and your neck.
There is. It's shorter scale length.
Yeah. You've got a little bit. The thing I hate about Les Pauls is I feel like that bridge is always raised compared to a Strat.
See, that's why I'm so used to playing.
I don't like that. I want my hand to be flush with the guitar. And the Les Paul just doesn't ever get me that.
Yeah.
I just for me personally.
Gotta get comfortable with it.
I know, and you know he's had one forever, and I mean I've played it a lot, but I like your
three
SG.
Three of my four electric guitars are based off a Les Paul style body.
You have one Strat, two Strats.
Strat style. Strat,
that's what I mean. You have that Ernie Ball.
Yeah. Well, I have a ESP that's a Super Strat, or LTD that's a Super Strat. Yeah. But no, I've always liked the Les Paul feel. Maybe just because what I liked when I was a kid, and I just went with that and never jumped out of the box too much. But
My favorite guitar is Les Paul. Yeah, I always say, but I'll play a Fender first.
Would you really?
Yeah, I'd say if you had asked me before I had this Fender, I would have said Les Paul. Yeah. But now that it's in my hands.
Yeah.
It's
makes me feel dangerous.
Yeah. They're just fun to play, dude. Yeah. They're very easy to play.
It's in good shape for being an old one.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? I don't know that I've ever seen it. Have I seen it? Is it white?
Mm-mm.
No, I've never seen it.
Mm-mm.
That's unfortunate. If I've never seen it, then I've never played it. And if I've never played it, that's unfortunate.
And that is a sad story, sir.
Thank
you for sharing.
I want to play every Strat on the planet. Talk about how great they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Preston, do you have a this or
I'm
that?
I'm trying to think of a decent one. You pretty much told us that Cinderella is your favorite.
From the 80s, yeah.
Okay.
Tom Kiefer's voice.
Rat?
I liked Rat.
Or Quiet Riot.
Quiet Riot.
Really?
Ooh. Randy Rhoads started off there.
He did.
So. Yeah, he did.
He did. Old, yeah. I mean, old Quiet Riot. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm a big Rat fan.
Yeah. I mean, Rat's awesome, but.
Tyler's over here like, I fucking hate hair metal, bro.
Rat or Dokken?
Dokken.
Okay.
Dokken.
There you go. But
okay.
The singer's all messed up now, so.
Don Dokken is?
Yeah. Heck, he, I guess a surgeon or something operated on him, messed him all up. He about can't sing. Or
oh, goodness gracious.
That's awful. I love Dokken growing up.
But I met them. George Lynch, I met him.
George Lynch. He's a fucking dog. No way. His side project, Lynch Mob, that's some heavy shit for the 80s, too.
Now, did you ever get into Metallica at all?
Yep.
You did? Okay.
Metallica or Megadeth?
Depends on, like, newer Megadeth, I'd go
all
for
of it together. Which
older Metallica,
choose?
I'd go for Metallica.
Okay.
Like, Injustice for All and Back, that's...
Yeah. That's real Metallica to you?
Yeah. Once they came out with the Black Album, I was like, eh, I'm done.
That's something we need to touch on.
Yeah, we do need it. We do need to touch
and
on
that. And we might be able to delve into it right now.
Because...
Yep.
Him and I, Tyler's just going to tune out because he fucking hates Metallica.
Fucking love the Black Album.
So,
what?
Me too. So, our generation, like, I love old Metallica.
Yeah, we
right?
both
I
mean, love I, old Metallica.
I mean, that's my favorite Metallica album is Ride the Lightning.
Oh,
that's
yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. But I love the Black Album. I think it's fucking heavy as shit.
Right.
So, why does your generation not like that record?
Because we grew up with the old Metallica.
Much faster.
The hard, heavy stuff. And then they come out with...
So,
oh, goodness.
So it felt like that big of a change at that time.
Yeah, well, they went from heavy as hell and...
Yeah.
They went from thrash
sellouts
to... Just there we go. So what did we talk about last episode? About how there are certain bands that change their sound and your ear, they fall off and you're done with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about some bands that have done that for us on our last episode, you know, that, hey, they changed their sound and I'm fucking done with them. So that was your generation. I mean, Metallica was that for your generation, right?
Wow. Yep.
So, I mean, that puts it into perspective because I've never really been like, I don't get why these fucking, why these fucking old dudes hate the Black Album.
Hardly anything, you know. It was like nothing else.
It was still heavy, though.
Heavy.
It just wasn't as fast.
I mean, I wouldn't actually consider. I mean, have you played any on guitar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I think it's heavy as fuck.
Don't tread on me, dude.
Oh, my
God. That's a jam.
A God that failed. Oh,
yeah.
Man. That's like, bless you, children.
Bless you, poor children.
So, I'd argue with you that heavy and fast are two different things. Tyler, what's heavy?
Heavy is a feeling.
Yep.
Not necessarily the sound.
I was like in the Testament and Exodus and all that stuff too.
Yeah.
So it was a big switch.
I mean, and
91, right? 91 was when that album.
Yeah.
Was.
So you still had Megadeth that were super thrashy, Slayer, yeah. Anthrax, like you said, Exodus, Testament, a couple more lesser known. Yeah. Not necessarily.
Mastodon.
Mastodon.
Yeah.
So you were really into the thrash thing, and then when Metallica went away from thrash, you're like, done. And then when Load and Reload came out, you probably wanted to hunt them down and shoot them.
Yeah, I just gave up on them by then.
Love those albums.
But, yeah, I do too.
Love them.
Yeah.
Like Garage Days and all that garage. Stuff. I love that stuff. Garage.
You like that?
Yeah, I got one of the originals.
So, I love Garage.
Yep. What'd you think about Saint Anger?
I mean, it's all right. Yeah, almost got my
snare.
Attention, but
yeah, till you heard the snare.
Last album. It's pretty good.
Yeah, this latest album is good.
Did you not like Death Magnetic? Man, that was thrashy as hell.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
No way.
So Death Magnetic and Hardwired, I thought were both like straight up old Metallica, super thrashy. Yep.
About the only thing I got my like King Nothing. Yeah, I loved the bass in it and all that stuff. So
we love that.
Like, heck yeah!
Yeah, that's a jam.
Let's see. It starts with an S. Slither.
Slither. God, that the vocals in that were horrible.
Oh yeah, they were.
Okay, Tyler, take us away from Metallica.
Well, I
have
think
felt
it's
really
cool
out of touch in this conversation, just because.
Beasted bitch.
Yourself,
no, but
dude.
I fucking hate you,
bro. That
why didn't you get your son into heavier shit, Ed?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I was in a southern rock band. I tried.
He was sliding south on
that's right. I was having a great time.
Turn that Pantera off!
Oh, I still jam my Pantera. We listened to that on the way to the show.
Wow. That was your bump-up music to play Southern Rock.
Yeah.
It's a highway song. He said, man, we were listening to the solo in Floods when we got out of the van, and now we're going to play Tuesday's Gone. Everybody get your lighters out.
That was one hell of a come down.
Hey, it was a good time. Southern Rock, you could play
you seen a
country
bunch of
bars and rock bars.
That's true. Fighting. Did you hear what he said?
What is it?
Southern Rock, you could play country bars and rock bars.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
We had a little bit of less than both worlds.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how you book two shows a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep,
we're going to play a country bar on Friday
double the
night.
Venues that you can
biker
play
bar
at.
The next night.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
See?
And we did see a lot of boobies. Got to judge some anatomy contests. All that good stuff.
Boobs are great.
Oh.
They're fantastic.
Yep, yep.
So I guess to steer the conversation away from Metallica.
Fuck you.
Shoo along. I asked Sean and Scotty this. I'd be interested in what you come up with. What is your favorite experience playing out? And what is the worst experience you had playing out?
Goodness.
Come on, Ed.
And then, if you dare, give us the funniest story.
The funniest? best. It was hard to say because we had some really good times. A lot of them, it just tops up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Probably be Jackal.
Yeah.
You guys. Hey.
Where was that at again?
The rodeo in Chillicothe, Easy Rider Rodeo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we shared the same dressing room and whatnot.
That's cool.
Got treated pretty good.
Yep.
Everybody got like their own cooler. You wrote in what you wanted and all that stuff. And that was the second year. First year was all right, but they pulled me and Dale aside at the second one. Told us that we had to calm it down. They'll shut us down, keep our clothes on. So, we did good that year. That's when we started going to Florida. That was a good time down there. I don't know what the worst one would be. Probably the thrash one up there. And
yeah.
Where you broke your leg?
Oh, nope, that was out there. That was before sliding south. Well, I'd go. That was a good one until the fight broke out. Until the fight broke out. I mean, that would have been
fighting.
A memorable one. But,
wow.
Yeah, we had a couple of those. We had them kick the windows out of Classics or Eddie's, whatever it was called, one night and stuff.
Wow.
I was in there with a band one time, and I had this huge python, I think it was, on me.
Holy shit.
And it was cold. I didn't know it was cold. And they put it on me. It went in my warmth, so it started constricting.
Oh, shit.
And it took about six of them to get it off of me.
Wow.
You're playing while you've got a snake on you?
Oh, not with that big ass thing. Oh. Heck, no, it was that probably that big around.
Wow.
It was huge. Mariah was its name.
Bro, if Mariah, a snake's big I'll enough to have a fucking name. Yeah.
Well, I mean, not to sound weird or nothing, but every time I broke Mariah out, a lot of the women left and all the black folk left. Not a war.
Didn't like any snakes.
They didn't like the snakes.
I cleared the riffraff out real quick if I walk through with the snake here.
Yeah, I mean, if I see somebody walk in with a
whose snake 12 foot, was it?
12 foot python or whatever.
Oh, well, he had a giant ass bow.
Yeah, it was huge.
Wow.
I had a couple of rabbits a week. Jeez. Kept it well fed so it didn't snatch on you. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
Good snake, never messed up.
Wow.
Except for at one time it starts giving me the squeeze.
Because it was cold.
Come here.
I bet that was scary. I tell you what,
that's power.
Yeah. They're literally like they're just a muscle. That's like all they are. They're a muscle with a face. Slow, but
Man, there was no stopping it.
They're a muscle with a face.
Good time.
You're a big ass dude. Jesus.
So when Tyler said funniest story, what he meant to say was your most embarrassing live story.
Well, I really don't have. It was usually me doing the embarrassing. I was usually being the crazy one.
Yeah? Did you like stage dive and nobody caught you?
I've been caught, thank God. most embarrassing, I just don't know. Like I said, it was usually me embarrassing the rest of the guys.
Ah, yeah. Gotcha. Fair enough.
And, that's how I got the name Special Ed and all that stuff.
That's where it came from.
Yeah.
Well, Tyler, do you have any other questions you want to ask your dad while we got him here before I?
No, I mean, it was interesting having you guys kind of throw your questions out there. It's dad to me, so not many questions I need to ask.
Yeah, he already knows most of them.
Well, I'm glad I had plenty because I was, you know, I've known you, but I haven't known you well, so it was good to get you on here. And kind of hear from the man behind my buddy. So it's been a pleasure. Mean,
you know, it's cool having Dad in here. Dad and I, after I got into playing with Sean and playing the type of music I started playing, man. Dad and I kind of stopped jamming together, but we always... Boys.
But, you know, everybody does that with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I go hang out with your friends. Yeah. I did it.
Yep.
I knew he was going to, but
so
I supported him. I gave him equipment to use, and
I blew some of it up.
Blew a lot of it up.
That's metal as fuck.
I definitely broke a lot of Dad's shit, and he didn't kill me, so that was nice of him.
Didn't really get mad. It happens.
I replaced the one.
10 years later?
Nah, it's like a couple days later with that.
I came home on leave once, and I wanted to jam with Sean and Scotty, and I asked Dad if I could borrow a rig to go play, and we're in Sean's room.
Is that the line six?
The line six. Like,
first call I got, Dad, you know I love you. Broke knobs off of it.
Oh.
I broke like one knob off.
Yeah, or broke a knob. A couple hours later, I get another call. He said it went up in smoke.
Mm. We're just playing. And Sean's like, hey, dude, your amp. And
was
I turn
a tube
around.
Line six? I don't know if line six ever made a tube amp.
It was a solid state.
Yeah, okay. But,
the fucker had like black smoke just oozing out of it, and I was like, "Oh!"
I played
fuck.
With Over High, Florida, back Over High again. He used it one night,
blow it up.
Wow,
that's all right,
that's my boy. That's my boy. You know, it's all in the name of rock.
That's right. That's metal as fuck.
Hey, I replaced that with a combo.
Yeah, little one.
I haven't replaced the other ones though.
That's all right. That's all right.
Like the Randall. Oh, that poor thing.
You got part of it around here somewhere. Yeah. There it is.
The speakers are still good.
Yeah.
Goodness.
But yeah, I mean, it's cool having Dad in here and talking a little bit of music. just because we don't really play together anymore, so we don't really get to do that. Yeah. But, you know, maybe we'll agree on some songs to jam to one of these days.
Well, you guys get to play, you know, some live shows.
I think a Metallica song will be good.
Yeah. No,
they got both miserable, making nothing else matter. Yeah. Well, you guys have played a live show on the same bill here in the last month, so that's cool to get to do that.
We played a few shows together.
So, I mean, that counts for something, right, Tyler?
Yeah, it's pretty cool getting out there and playing with Dad. Yeah, when he was in Damage. And it was you and Uncle Learning.
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet. And then
Saving Abel or somebody at night.
Saving Abel.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Then you played there next year too, didn't you? It was Boba Flex.
We didn't play that year. They didn't want us.
I can't stand that damn band.
How'd you end up there? Up there in the titty contest squirting water.
Because I came out to watch you guys play.
Oh, I got you, Barry.
And it was when Michaela and I were like first back together or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, I heard you had a good time. One of her friends was in the crowd.
Said dad made me do
it. And I was like, I promise you that was not intentional. My dad forced me. And when dad forces you, the whole crowd is forcing you.
Yeah, I didn't force him.
And I was like,
squirt water on those. Have fun.
Squirt water on those. Have fun.
And it had like me and a few other veterans, and I was like, fuck.
Well, there was one in the year before, but he already left.
Yeah, he was
probably. They couldn't get another vet, so they came and got me. And was like, here, you got kids in the military. I was like, yep, you're up. Oh, brother, I was right down.
Yeah, I'm sure Tyler was like, oh, fuck, I've got to go look at boobs. Oh, you're really, oh, you're hurting my arm.
I think the quality of the boobs was more the issue.
Have you ever been to the Harley Davidson motorcycle contest. Rally in Chillicothe?
I had never been.
Oh, yeah, well, if you want to talk about poor quality of breasts,
go to the
Harley Rodeo. They have to fucking ratchet strap them bitches over their shoulder.
Boy, I seen some stuff down there.
Yeah, speak to me.
Girl jumps up on stage one time, says, I want 10 guys. Line up.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You see special. It all. You name it, you're going to see it.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures. I've heard stories from old man and my uncle.
I won't even talk about.
I'm still scarred.
Yeah, I'm still talking to Jesus over some of those things.
Yeah. And it still goes on.
Father, I know
year.
I've confessed this every day for the last 15 years.
I think they don't have it down there no more.
Really?
Yeah, I think it got taken out.
Got nixed.
Yep.
They got the Jeep Jam thing they do down there, and there's... Yeah. Bunch of people that go to that. I think they play a bunch of live music out there too. I'm sure it's mostly country, but
I never heard of it.
Yeah, it's like a big you know how people with Jeep Wranglers are all in a fucking cult.
Well, it's not much different than owning a bike.
Yeah, about like your Harley riders.
Yeah, it's true. I don't ride a Harley.
Yeah.
Suzuki. I had a Harley.
Well, Ed,
for a minute.
Thanks for coming on, dude. I
not
appreciate
a problem.
It.
Good times.
Been,
good times.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been
so,
a pleasure.
We'll let you close it out with
some peace, love, dove.
So what y'all don't know is peace, love, dove comes from Dad, and I get a lot of mannerisms from my dad. That
that's my boy. That's my boy.
So we'll let you close it out. I want to run through a couple things real quick. Again, just want to thank everybody for listening, and whether you're listening on, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or if you're one of our Patreon subscribers, you're watching us on YouTube, thank you guys so much for tuning in every week. We appreciate you. Wouldn't be able to do this if it wasn't for you guys. If you want t-shirts, please reach out to us, and we'll make sure that we get you a shirt. And again, if you haven't subscribed to Patreon and you want to binge this content and you want to be able to watch all of our bonus content, you want to interact with us one-on-one, please hop on Patreon, look up the Screaming Idiots Show, and subscribe to our Backstage Pass. It's only $5, not asking for much. So that's going to help us make this show better, maybe incentivize some guests from far away to come on. So every little bit helps. And it also, you know, goes into the merch fund to continue producing merch. So we're going to let Ed close us out here. Till next time, we are the Screaming Idiots. We'll see you next week.
Coming from WKPUSSY, the fuzzy spot on your radio dial. Bye-bye. Peace.